ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 98. 98 of the report. Yeah, man. Listen. Listen. I know I told you guys that episode 97 would be the very last episode for 2015. I know I said that. And I wholeheartedly intended on that episode being the very last episode of 2015, right? I really wanted to just, like, you know what, take this time off, enjoy family, enjoy the time that I have off, right? Because this is like the longest that I've had off of work and everything else for all year, pretty much, outside of the time earlier this year where I got married, right? So it's pretty much the longest vacation where I didn't really have to do shit all year, right? And so, yeah, man, it was just, it was a couple things that kind of popped up over the holiday and over that, you know, over the time where I was at home in Chicago, where I kind of felt like this episode was needed and that I kind of need to reiterate a little bit forcefully, a little bit more definitively my thoughts on Ashy Niggas and Ashy Nigga Logic, right? And you know, I sometimes I kind of hashtag a few things, man. I'll hashtag Ashy Nigga Logic, I'll hashtag White Denial Syndrome, I'll hashtag, you know, things like that, man. But this right here, man, this is something that kind of hits home, you know what I mean? This is something that for anybody who's in this space, whether it be, you know, podcasting, whether it be a YouTuber, whether it be anyone who has a platform on any form of social media, to me, I feel like if you're going to speak on behalf of the people, especially people of color, if you're going to speak on behalf or for the upliftment of the people, then you need to be speaking for the upliftment of all the people. And that's why I feel like this episode is sorely needed. That's why I feel like this episode is needed. So before I get into all of the shit that I'm going to talk about tonight, because it's really going to be about one topic tonight. But before I get into all of that, I got to let you guys know. Gotta let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I will play them on the show, and of course, I will respond in kind. You can also email the show. The email to the show is feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails. Of course, I will read those emails here on the show, and of course, I will reply to you here on the show as well. Chop it up with me here on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr. Span. Mr. Span on both of those platforms. Chop it up with your man there. We can do that throughout the week. Also, send me your ass hat of the week submissions, man. We can kick off next year with a lot of motherfuckers that deserve to be an ass hat for the week, you know what I mean? So we can talk about them here on the show. Send me those ass hat of the week submissions at asshat@thespanreport.com. That's asshat@thespanreport.com, all right? Also, give your man a five-star review, preferably five stars. A review on Stitcher and on iTunes, preferably five stars. Help the show grow. Pass on the word about the show. That's your way of putting in on this, right? Because I don't ask for donations, man. If you guys want to offer donations, that's cool. But the only thing that I really ask of you is to give me a five-star review and help the show grow. Help the show expand, so to speak, you know, and that's your way of putting it on the show, man. Let people know that you rocking with the Sparing Report, right? And for all of your Sparing Report needs, man, go to thesparingreport.com. That's www.thesparingreport.com. All of the podcasts, all of the videos associated with the podcast, all of the videos that I use and the audio that I use. Typically, when you go to the website, you'll find those videos available on that podcast episode at thesparingreport.com. So go there for all of your Sparing Report needs, man. Real talk. Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. So, I got a couple things first, though. First thing is, I want to apologize to anybody who was trying to watch episode 97 of the Sparing Report podcast on YouTube. I did not have any audio. There was no audio on the YouTube video of where I did the live simulcast of the podcast and everything else. So you got the video. There was no, you couldn't hear me say a goddamn thing, right? And that's my fault. That there is my fault. My fault was that I didn't pretty much adjust the audio and, you know, the audio inputs and everything like that. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of shit going on this end. But that's my bad, right? So to anybody who tried to listen to episode 97 or tried to watch episode 97 on YouTube, that video is pretty much, unless you want to sit there and watch me talk and not hear anything, it's pretty much, but I do apologize. I do apologize for not checking beforehand to make sure that those adjustments have been made so that you guys can get the audio. But of course, you know, the show is available a multitude of ways, right? You can go on iTunes, you can go on Stitcher, you can go on TuneIn Radio, you can go on Google Play Music when that option becomes available. Any kind of podcasting app that you want, this podcast is available there. And you can also, without fail, go to thesparingreport.com and get that episode if you really wanted to find out what it was I was talking about when I got to, when I gave you the message to the ashy nigga, right? And so, and speaking about, you know, kind of piggybacking off of the message to the ashy nigga, man, which is pretty much what this episode is about, which is, you know, I kind of left it at, you know, I'm kind of sick and tired of, you know, black men speaking ill of black women and acting as if everything is okay and acting as if they're speaking on behalf of black people and acting as if they're in a position to uplift black people, especially when they speak down on 50% of our population, when they speak down on our better halves, so to speak. Right. And so, you know, one of the things that I kind of spoke about before I got into the, I think it was, that guy's name was Jap Hussein, whoever it was that did that video about the single mothers, right? I kind of alluded to a portion of the R. Kelly interview that happened over at the HuffPost Live, right? And so I was talking about how, you know, I was in the chat, right? I was in the chat of the HuffPost Live interview with R. Kelly where, you know, he got up and he stormed off and everything else, right? So one of the things that I was a bit surprised by was not only that the fact that R. Kelly consented to doing an interview with HuffPost Live knowing that there would be audience questions and audience feedback concerning what the conversation was, but also to, after that happened, finding out and watching social media's reaction to it and how so many black men took it upon themselves to don the cape of victimhood for R. Kelly, right? R. Kelly has become the victim in this particular instance. People have made it their point to say that white supremacy is the reason that R. Kelly is dealing with these issues and that, you know, we don't see white people dealing with these issues in the same way that R. Kelly is and everything else, right? And it's one of those things to where I look at that and I'm kind of trying to figure out what the fuck are you niggas thinking about? Or better yet, how do you come to that kind of conclusion knowing the history concerning R. Kelly, right? And so it was funny, man. I remember when I first posted that message to the Ashy Nigga, I got a message from my aunt in my private messages on Facebook because my aunt is an R. Kelly fan and she hates the fact that I kind of go in on this nigga at every opportunity, at every chance I get, because of the fact I haven't fucked with R. Kelly for quite some time. I've spoken out numerous times about it. This is not a secret that, yo, Span does not like R. Kelly. If anybody who's listening to this, podcast or watching this video on YouTube, anybody who's listening to my voice right now knows that Span doesn't fuck with R. Kelly and hasn't fucked with R. Kelly for quite some time, right? And so, you know, my aunt sent me a message saying, you know, maybe he's repentant, you know, and all of these other things. And I said, listen, he has to be held accountable for his actions here, right? He has yet to be held accountable for his actions here. And that has been my main contention about the R. Kelly thing, whether it be, you know, anytime he releases an album, anytime he does a concert, anytime he does an award show where, unfortunately, Erykah Badu says that this motherfucker done did more for black people than anybody. It's like, come on, man. Come on, right? So anybody listening to my voice will know that yo, Span has been a critic, a really harsh critic of R. Kelly for quite some time, right? And so one of the things that I don't think took me by surprise, as a matter of fact, it didn't take me by surprise, right? I know that black people aren't a monolith. I know this, right? I understand that all of us don't think the same ways on certain things. I understand that as far as the black collective is concerned, as you know, I had a conversation with me and Mr. Gates were on the phone, I want to say last week, man, and I was kind of telling him, like, you know, when we talk about the advancement of black people, you know, one of the things that always comes up is everybody keeps saying, well, black people got to get together on X, Y, and Z or one specific thing, when how could that ever be when black people aren't a monolithic group and people move in different ways and they see things in different ways and they want to move in certain ways where they think they can advance the best for, you know, in the best way for the people, right? So I understand that even though I have my view of R. Kelly, there are a lot of black people that don't necessarily hold the same view that I do, right? So I know this going in, but there's also a segment of black people, black men in particular, who would make excuses for a nigga like R. Kelly, right? So I say all that to say this. There was a narrative that had kind of brewed up about the HuffPost Live interview with R. Kelly. And it was a narrative of R. Kelly being set up. That R. Kelly was set up during the time that he was on that HuffPost Live interview, right? Now, I was in that chat room when they were doing that interview. I also know a couple other podcasters who were also in the chat room who also had some really hard-hitting questions for R. Kelly in the chat room, right? And so while we were in the chat room at the HuffPost Live, now, mind you, let me preface this by saying this. I'm not necessarily a really big fan of the Huffington Post, right? Because I know that the Huffington Post can be a very left-leaning publication, right? As someone who practices and who exercises the Second Amendment daily, I know a lot of times I kind of look at the Huffington Post a little bit sideways when they report on, say for instance, gun violence or gun ownership or the way that they politically kind of spin a lot of things when it comes to gun control and everything else. I'm a little bit of a critic when it comes to the Huffington Post on issues like that, right? So I'm not the biggest Huffington Post cheerleader, so to speak, right? So we're in this chat and we're submitting questions and other people are submitting questions as well, right? Now, there was, for other people that I do know, that was in that chat room, there was myself, there was Chris from the Movie Trailer Reviews and the Insanity Check podcast, check that brother out, and there was also Sterling from the Gaming and Then Some podcast, who also, the Womb God, who also had a few comments and a few questions for R. Kelly in that chat room, right? Now, while we were in that chat room, during the R. Kelly interview and before the R. Kelly interview, because the chat room was kind of open beforehand also. While we were in that chat room, the moderators were booting people out for having too harsh questions for R. Kelly. The moderators were threatening to kick me out. They banned a few other people. They deleted comments. They deleted questions for R. Kelly, right? Now, you can go to thespanreport.com right now. I have a gallery of some of the pictures that were, you know, I have a few screenshots, actually, of what was going on in that chat room, right? And as a matter of fact, before I even kind of move on, I'm going to kind of read some of these comments that were made in the chat room. And so you guys can kind of figure out, you know, like this, there was this narrative that came out that the Huffington Post ambushed R. Kelly. When it, in reality, when it came to the questions that were coming through in the chat, the Huffington Post were doing their damnedest to protect this motherfucker, right? So let's see, I'm gonna go into this gallery here. And I know that I submitted a question that said, when we're talking teenage, how old are we talking? How many 19-year-old friends does a normal 49-year-old man have? And that was an ode to the interview that he did with Turay years ago, where Turay asked him, did he have any teenage friends? And R. Kelly asked him, when we talking teenage, how old are we talking? Right? So that was the wrong thing to say when you're asking somebody about their sexual proclivities with young teenage girls. But that's how he answered. So that was an ode to that, right? I also asked the question of when will you be honest with yourself and figure out the reason that your projects don't see the support that they used to is because of your track record with underage girls, right? And so that was a response to a question that, like, R. Kelly was saying that he doesn't see the support. And then there was that video that he came out with, that, like, you know, we don't see the same support for Black R&B music that, you know, say for instance, an Adele or Justin Timberlake may receive, or Robin Thicke may receive. I mean, the nigga even went so far as to say that, yo, Black folks just be bootlegging his shit that y'all stealing from it, right? He went so far as to say support me, but at the same time he said y'all stealing my shit too. Right? As Black people, we should support one another and all this other shit. But he goes on this publication to say that y'all been stealing this shit. Right? So that was one question. There was a couple questions that I submitted, right? Another question that kind of came up, I kind of asked, I said, was 12 play a mistake? Was it really supposed to be 21 play, but you got the numbers mixed up? Because, you know, hashtag mistake happens. You know what I'm saying? We all make mistakes, and we know sometimes, man, it was a joke, but that one joke that I made got a moderator from the Huffington Post to say, hey, cut it out. We might have to ban you for this kind of shit, right? And there was somebody in the chat that was, like, kind of defending R. Kelly, and they would, you know, they would call it the Buffet. That was their name. They were the Buffet. And I kind of figured it was somebody from the R. Kelly camp who was in that chat room trying to, you know, kind of combat the, you know, some of the comments that were coming through the chat. But I was also hit by a moderator. Her name was Rianne Martin. And she said, you're coming close to joining the banned users due to your direct insults and your responses. Please just leave the name calling offline and you'll be fine. Now, mind you, I never called R. Kelly out of his name. I never called R. Kelly out of his name, but I was threatened to be booted out of that chat room because of some of the questions that I was asking of R. Kelly, right? Also, there was an exchange with one of the moderators, right? And this moderator was actually just kind of, you know, trying to tamp a lot of the things that were going on down when it came to the questions that were coming to R. Kelly or coming to them via the chat on that interview. And her name was Paige Harmes. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. She says, good afternoon, guys. I just wanted to pop in and remind folks that no matter your personal opinion of the guests involved, it's a requirement of HuffPost that comments not violate the general posting guidelines. This means nothing that could fall under ad hominem, even slight ad hominem comments. It's okay to discuss issues and talk about problems you have with the guest. It's not okay to insult or attack them, or not okay to make backhanded compliments that are veiled insults or ad hominem attacks on the guest and or host or the moderator. If you have issues with it, I urge you to feel free to email me with your concerns and paste the comment you feel was deleted and everything else, right? Now, that was one of the moderators from the HuffPost Live. Now, Chris from Movie Trailer Reviews, commented to her, right? And he says, again, I have to ask why you even have a comment section or even interview this man when you know the history here. There's a video, there's marriage licenses, and it seems like everyone is more concerned about the site rules and being respectful to him with little concern of victims of this type of alleged behavior. This is a pretty bad low point, right? So there was this narrative that was being generated that R. Kelly was being ambushed by HuffPost Live, right? There was this narrative being pushed that R. Kelly was being ambushed by HuffPost Live during this interview, right? Now, there's a few more comments as well because Paige Hermes actually responded to Chris, and she said, it's not an issue of respecting him and disrespecting possible alleged victims. I'm an assault survivor. I know that pain, and I never advocate re-victimizing an assault survivor, but it is the direct responsibility of my moderator to make sure that she is doing what she is taxed with. That is to keep conversation on target and following the site rules. She has allowed commentary and even a link that has some very interesting information in it. She is in no way protecting anyone. She is letting information that follows site rules to be posted, whether it's negative or positive. There's nothing saying folks can't talk about the issue surrounding this artist, but there are ways to do so that avoid breaking site rules while doing so. That is all we ask. And again, Chris responded, said, you are putting the burden of the people to handle this and be respectful instead of the man himself. Maybe next time, if you wanted to make sure softball questions are asked in the chat, you should close the chat and let the HuffPost lob him softballs and give him respect without expecting the public to do it, right? Now, one of the things that I think is very important to understand is this. Again, like I said, there was the narrative that R. Kelly was being ambushed by the Huffington Post Live interviewer. And that the questions that were being asked of R. Kelly were disrespectful and everything else. And I'm going to go into a whole thing later with some of these other motherfuckers that definitely need to be called out. But I wanted to make sure. I wanted to make sure that this was clear. That even though I'm not necessarily a fan of the Huffington Post all the way, they were protecting this motherfucker in this interview when he got up and walked away. During like mid-interview, when he got up mid-interview, walked away, they were protecting him in this chat. He only got one question from the chat room. if he'd have stayed and got some of the more what I would say challenging questions, R. Kelly would rub. It was probably a good thing that he left, but at the same time, there was that narrative that he was being ambushed, and that the interviewer and the Huffington Post Live staff were trying to sabotage him in some sort of way, right? So I want to make this clear. That's not what happened. I was in the chat. Sterling was in the chat. Chris was in the chat. That's not what happened, right? And so, you know, I'm feeling like, you know, like, At that particular time, you know, like I said, I'm watching this shit unfold or whatever, and I'm like, oh, damn, this shit's over already. Like, the interview was over. I was at work when the shit was happening. You know what I'm saying? The interview was over. I'm watching the shit fall, you know, I'm watching the fallout of it on, you know, kind of come out on Twitter. And a couple days later, I see an article written by Madame Noir, right? Now, Madame Noir posted an article about Tariq Nasheed, right? Now, Tariq Nasheed has the Tariq Elite radio show. He's formerly of the Mac Lessons radio show. He is the producer of the Hidden Colors documentary series, right? Very popular guy, right? You know, he's transitioned himself quite well. He's transitioned himself quite well from the Mac Lessons to the Tariq Elite show. And they made it. They talked about Tariq's tweets, his series of tweets that happened after that particular interview, right? And it was funny because I read the article and I read the tweets that Tariq Nasheed said about, you know, the interview, about the how he linked it to, you know, the, what was that, Ebony Magazine. As a matter of fact, let me go ahead and just kind of pull some of these things up on the Span Report. Just a second, because I got these. And as for further note, all of these screenshots, everything that I'm reading right now, you can go to thespanreport.com. All of these pictures are available right there. They'll be available right there on this post, and you can check these things out for yourself. Just a second as I try to get back to this. Okay. Now, after that happened, Tariq Nasheed went on a bit of a Twitter rant, and he said, "I saw that R. Kelly interview, and the host, hashtag Carolyn Moderesi Tarani, was extremely rude, disrespectful, and unprofessional. Has the white supremacist sent their Negro shaming committee from Ebony.com to attack any black people who disagree with Carol with the interviewer and R. Kelly, right? I don't support white supremacy. If you see any people on black Twitter co-signing that disrespectful host who interviewed R. Kelly, they are connected to Ebony Mag. That interviewer was extremely rude and disrespectful, and I can't co-sign that," right? He goes on to say that, I believe this may have been like a response to someone else. He said, "You mean like Woody Allen and Roman Polanski, right?" And so I'm like, okay, I saw the interview and I didn't believe that the woman who asked him the questions was being disrespectful at all. But of course you would expect me to say that, right? Because I'm not an R. Kelly fan, right? So you would expect me to say, "Hey, Span, why would you see her as being disrespectful when you don't like R. Kelly to begin with? You think whatever she did was perfectly okay." No, what I'm saying is what he could have gotten from the chat room, the questions that she could have asked that were coming from the chat room were a hell of a lot worse than what the fuck he got. And she hadn't even got an opportunity to ask him those questions yet. Right. And so for Tariq Nasheed to say that, hey, she was being disrespectful and, she was being rude and everything else, I want you guys to kind of listen. I'm going to just play this little clip real quick. I want you guys to kind of listen to this exchange to find out where the fuck was she being disrespectful to R. Kelly in this particular instance.
It's interesting because, you know, this album, you're writing, I guess, asking for that support in the sense that album sales wise it's not been selling as well as Black Panties. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, as we look around, first of all, lack of support. Second of all, you look around with the computers and everything, you know, I believe that every album I've done, you know, also a lot of albums that other artists has done have sold, like in the hood and streetwise, you know. But it's because people can get on computer and download anything they want nowadays. They don't have to run out to the store and buy the album. You know, can just get on the computer, download it, or get it however they can get it. And that's what's going on today more than ever. And as the time goes on, it's going to be even more, you know, and you're going to be even more able to do those things. And then that's going to hurt the artists, me and a lot of artists out there.
So you're saying that, you know, people should support you, should go out, buy the record. Why do you think people aren't?
Well, as I said before, I think that people are more caught up into they have the computers and everything like that, and they can go on computer, go online and download songs. And it's just not me. It's not that they're just not supporting. They're supporting me, but I don't think they're paying more attention to the support in the area of, okay, I'm going to buy this rather than get. Because naturally, if you can get something free, you're going to get it for free. And I'm not going to even lie. If somebody can give me a T-shirt, I'll take the T-shirt for free if it's a nice T-shirt and if it's my size, you know. It's pretty much like that, unfortunately, with these albums and this music that's coming out. It's so easy to get to without even having to go to the store and buy it. So,
all right. Now, again, I'm waiting for the disrespect. I'm waiting for the rudeness. While at the same time, this nigga's accusing all of you motherfuckers who just said, who he's begging for you to support him. He just accused you motherfuckers of stealing from me. Pay attention.
You know.
So some people say,
wasn't like that before when the album was double, triple platinum
right.
week or within a month or whatever. It wasn't like that before. So now that it's like that.
So some people say that they're conflicted. Mm-hmm. That they want to support the music, mm-hmm. because they think musically you are a genius. but they can't support you. So this is one tweet of many tweets. So Vante Culpepper says, would I let R. Kelly babysit my daughters? Fuck no. Would I play his music at a family party? You're goddamn right.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to fans that are conflicted about you?
So we can curse on this TV show?
Yeah, absolutely. You can say whatever you want.
I say fuck that. I say I have a lot of fans around the world that love R. Kelly, and I'm glad that they don't feel the way she do. You know, God bless her. But you can't satisfy everybody, and you're not going to always have everybody to hold you down, you know. But when I go to my concerts, which I've been selling out concerts, I've just gotten off a tour, finna do another buffet tour. And I really do believe it's going to sell out, and we're going to have a lot of fun. And I'm just glad to know that everybody doesn't feel the way she does, or, you know, or anybody else that feels like her. You know, God bless those people.
So when people think of R. Kelly, right, they don't just think of the music. There are other artists that, you know, when you think of somebody, you think, oh, just their music, and you think about their back catalog, and you think about the hits that you love dancing to in the clubs. When you think about R. Kelly, I think people find it very difficult to not think about the multiple lawsuits, the multiple allegations of you having inappropriate relations, sex relations with minors. What do you say to those people who find it conflicting?
Well, since you're the one brought it up, I'll just say it to you, because I don't hear from anyone else. You know, you hear a few rumors here and there, but as far as from me to you, I would say, again, fuck that. You know, I'm a man that believes what I see. And everywhere I go, from malls to restaurants to tours, sold-out tours, overseas and back, and everywhere I've been, and I'm a man who has been around the world a few times, multiple times, and everywhere I've been, I get nothing but love. Now, unless all of those people are tricking me and acting when they see me come in a concert, somebody's behind there with a sign and say, okay, everybody scream, we love you. Unless so, well, I'm not finished. Let me answer the question.
I was going to agree with you and
finish,
say
but
that there
me,
isn't
you can't
anything.
Agree. I have not finished.
Okay,
so how can you agree?
No, finish your
you
question.
You cannot finish, and you cannot agree with something that is not finished. So let me finish.
All right. I have yet to find her being disrespectful, her being rude to this motherfucker, right? But at this particular point in this interview, this is when it starts getting to a point where he's getting really defensive. He starts talking over her. He starts making sure that he cuts her off while she's trying to, you know, clarify a point or make a point or to even ask a question, right? Now, of course, again, that video is available at the Spare Report. You can watch it there if you like, right? So, we have this narrative from a lot of black men, unfortunately, that R. Kelly was ambushed during this interview, that this lady set him up on this interview, that he wasn't there for that particular reason. Now, I'm going to say this right now. If you niggas going to be upset at anybody, be upset at R. Kelly's PR team for allowing his ass to take him up, to go on a Huffington Post Live to do an interview where he should know. He should fucking know that there are going to be listener comments, listener or audience feedback, listener questions and everything else. The very first tweet that he got was a listener comment, right? So it is not as if he's oblivious to a lot of this shit. Let's just make that plain too. He tried to act as if the fact that people still do buy his shit and people still go to his concerts, that there isn't a segment of the population who just simply ain't fucking with him. He knows that. He knows that. I mean, you think about the fact that last year when he released that last album, I think it was called Black Panties or some shit like that, when he released that, and as part of his promotional thing, he went on Twitter to have the hashtag Ask R. Kelly, and how much of a disaster that shit was. How many people asked him about those very same things, about his alleged predisposition to be fucking with underage girls? The alleged predisposition, you know, the thing that he got off of, right? So I'm wondering where the disrespect is, right? So I'm reading this article on Madame Noir concerning Tariq Nasheed and his comments concerning R. Kelly in this interview, right? And I'm like, damn, you know, it kind of leads into the whole thing that I was talking about earlier about the ashy nigga logic, right? Where you start seeing, you know, niggas making excuses for dumb shit. Niggas making way for other niggas to kind of shit on black women and get away with it. And then hide themselves behind the fact that they're victims of white supremacy. Right? As if black women can't be victims of black of white supremacy and black patriarchy. Right? That happens. They would doubt that it does, but it does. They will discount their level of privilege, but they do have it. I'm aware of it. I acknowledge it, which is why I speak to it on this show. Right? So, Tariq Nasheed made these comments on Twitter. And so I posted this on my Facebook. And I was, you know, there was a few people on Facebook. Now, this is something new for me, man. Like, I'm not used to people who I'm not friends with on my personal Facebook page making comments on shit that I post, right? So I started getting posts or comments from people that I'm not friends with these niggas, right? But they're making comments on my post or whatever, and I'm engaging them in these conversations and whatnot. Now, mind you, it's Christmas Eve. I'm at home in Chicago. I'm with my family, and I'm distracted because of this shit. Right. I'm pretty sure my wife was annoyed. I'm pretty sure my family was annoyed because I was preoccupied with this bullshit here. Right. I was preoccupied with this shit. So I'm getting comments from a couple niggas on this particular instance about this particular article. Right. And I'm going to just name these niggas out. I'm put, you know, because, again, these screenshots are available on the website. But Jerome Jackson kind of pointed out, he made a comment that said, point out the white supremacist that's throwing Zimmerman under the bus. I'll wait. If you don't like R. Kelly, don't buy his music, don't go to his concerts. It's simple. But I don't have to drag his shit up from 10 years ago in the mainstream media when they don't do those white pedophiles like that. That's my point. It's still a damn difference in how the shit is portrayed. You think R. Kelly is the only pedophile out here? Get the fuck out of here. Right? And then there was another guy named Damian Gordon who said that the nigga fucked a few underage girls back in the day and got off. Get over it. These girls were teenagers. When I was in high school, there was a few girls fucking grown men. That shit been going on. The laws of this country dictate what you feel is wrong or right. R. Kelly has to answer to God, as we all do. Stop bringing up the past. Get over it. You don't hear that girl or her family in the media talking about it. Right now, these are a couple of the comments that these niggas left me on that post on my Facebook. Now, of course, I am guaranteeing that like by 99.99% of the, but these niggas are Tariq Nasheed fans, right? Let's not make no mistake about it. Let's not be discombobulated or misconstrued. These niggas are Tariq Nasheed fans, right? Because we can go back into another couple of these comments that they made to me. And one of them said that the R. Kelly accusations are 10 years old, bro. You wanted to hear about that shit. Be truthful. Why bring that shit up? And Tariq has a point. Which white man do they ask about shit like that? The media doesn't do them that way. I was surprised the black dude wasn't interviewing him anyway. He interviewed Scarface when he was on the show. And then Jerome Jackson also goes on to say, and again, I read the article. I'm talking about all the commentary on him, the quote unquote cheesy Mac reference. That's someone who doesn't like him and obviously has a grudge against him, acting confused about what white supremacy is. Okay, they lying and stop. Okay, they lying and pushing a narrative about him before they even start talking about the damn tweets. If you don't like Tariq, again, that's cool, but this article is trash, and at the end of the day, they shitting on two brothers at the same time. I don't co-sign that. Fuck that article and the site. Now, Jerome Jackson goes on to make the accusation that the Madame Noir article was bullshit, that they were lying on Tariq, right? That they were lying on him. Now, I read the article. I also read his tweets. I didn't see a lie in the Madame Noir article. I didn't, right? So there was a part of the Madame Noir article that was that I thought was pretty interesting, right? Because they go back. Hold on, just a second. Let me pull this up real quick. Because they go back and they talk about a segment of the Mac Lessons radio show that Tariq Nasheed used to do. I want to say maybe 2 years ago, And they go back and they talk about a certain segment of his show, and they quote him on his show. And it's, this is Tariq, quote unquote, saying this. He says, "No matter what people say about me, you will always see me with a dime. An upscale black bitch. If I fuck with one, I try to fuck with upscale bitches of any race I deal with. White bitch, Asian bitch, whatever. She's going to be upscale. I'm not messing with anybody's hood rat because, number one, I live in the suburbs." Uh-oh. These goddamn ads. Come on, Madame Noir. Come on, man. Come on, man. All right. Let's see. She's, "I'm not messing with anybody's hood rat because, well, number one, I live in the suburbs. Her little raggedy car is not going to make it to the suburbs. Her transmission will fall out by the time she makes it to the freeway. I'm not coming down to the hood to fuck with her. Because most times she either lives with her mom or she got her own spot. She ain't got no damn furniture. What dude wants to leave the suburbs? What dude wants to leave his 5-bedroom house to go make love on a goddamn pallet?" Right now, Jerome Jackson says that the Madame Noir article is lying, right? Then Tariq Nasheed went on his podcast, his latest episode, to say that the Madame Noir article was lying about him, right? So, you know, I'm like, you know, oh shit, let me kind of look to see if they really lying on him. And here's Tariq on the latest episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show.
Other things I want to talk about. First, I want to talk about Madame Noir. A Noir, whatever the fuck the name of that bottom feeding ass website. Now, they've done another hit piece on me today. They've written there how many... Every year they write, or every... Shit, every few months it seems now, but they've written another negative article about me. But one of their main authors or journalists, a person named Sharing Ball, they've done another hit piece on me. And I talk about this all the time. Every time I'm about to release Hidden Colors, the same group of people who are basically minions for white supremacists, you know, they write their little hit pieces on me with nothing but lies. So they wrote another one today, and shout out to everybody who caught it. A lot of people have been checking them over their lies. This time their hit piece was talking about Tariq Nasheed from Hidden Colors supports R. Kelly. Now, R. Kelly was on the Huffington Post Live. He did an interview the other day, and there was a...
Okay, hold on. I don't want to get too far ahead. But he said that the article was full of lies, right? Now, I just read to you the excerpt from the Madame Noir article. And they also had the series of tweets that Tariq said about the R. Kelly interview on the Huffington Post Live, right? So I read you the quote of Tariq on Madame Noir. Here is Tariq's own words.
"No matter what people say about me, you will always see me with a dime, an upscale black bitch, if I fuck with one. Or any race. I try to fuck with the upscale women of any race I deal with. If I give it a white bitch, Asian bitch, whatever, she's going to be upscale. I'm not messing with nobody's hood rat. Because number one, I live in the suburbs. Her little raggedy ass car ain't going to make it to the goddamn suburbs. Her transmission will fall out time she get on the freeway. I'm not coming down to the hood to fuck with her. Shit. Because in most cases, she either live with her mom, and if she got her own spot, she ain't got no goddamn furniture. Well, now, what dude wants to leave the suburbs? What dude wants to leave his 5-bedroom house to go make love on a goddamn pallet? And sit down on a milk crate. So, lady, step your game up."
All right. So I'm trying to figure out where the fuck the lie is. Where's the lie? Who's lying? Because that's Tariq's own words. That's him saying the exact same shit that Madame Noir said that he said. The tweets that he had on Twitter that Madame Noir quoted in their article. That's exactly what the fuck they said. That's exactly what he said. You can go on the Spare Report and look yourself. You can go on Madame Noir and look yourself. That's what he said, man. That's what he said. So, you know, my thing is this, right? Because, and my thing is, I'm not about beef. That is not my thing. That is not my MO. That is not how I operate here at the Spare Report. That is not what I do. But my point right now is that if you are talking as if you're going to be for the upliftment of the people, as you are for the rise of us all, then when stuff like this kind of comes up and stuff like this happens, you got to own that shit, dog. You can't run away from that. You can't say this article is full of lies when they got your fucking words. They got you saying the goddamn words. And then you turn around and tell your listeners who, to be quite honest, some of them ain't going to take the time to just go see and look for them goddamn selves to say, hey, maybe they do got this motherfucker saying some really fucked up shit. Or they believe everything you say and they co-sign everything you say to the point where they will defend you saying some shit even if they know it's a goddamn lie. Right? So whether Tariq Nasheed defends R. Kelly, I mean, shit, there's a lot of motherfuckers who defend this ashy shit, right? Who defend this nigga and try to couch it in some sort of misguided black supremacy or black solidarity movement or whatever the fuck, right? We not going to talk about R. Kelly in public spaces because white folks might be listening, or white folks ain't talking about they pedophiles in the way that we talking about R. Kelly in public and everything else. And which is bullshit, by the way, which is bullshit. Part of the reason why, you know, Roman Polanski is a goddamn pedophile is because white mainstream media told your ass. Part of the reason that, you know, Elvis Presley got with, what was Lisa Marie's mama? I don't know. But he got with her at a young age because white media told you. Part of the reason that, you know, that a lot of the shit that goes on with these white guys who doing really fucked up and seedy shit is because white media told you. So it's not to say that they're not telling us or they're not discussing it and everything else. Yeah, Charlie Sheen does some fucked up shit. You know how we know? Because the white media told us. That's how you know. You see it all the time. Because why? White folks told you. Right? So this idea that black folks ain't supposed to shun or ostracize or talk shit about a nigga who done did some fucked up shit and ain't really paid for it because white folks might be listening, it's some ashy nigga logic. It's ashy nigga logic. Right? So, you know, like I'm listening to this and I had to kick these other niggas. I had to block them other two niggas because they that conversation was pretty much escalating on my Facebook, right? And it was getting to a point where it was disturbing to see the levels of which niggas would take to defend a man taking advantage of young girls, right? And we know that R. Kelly's victims were young black teenage girls, right? Now, we just came off of a case where Daniel Holzclaw got, you know, almost 263 years for raping black women, right? And people cheered that, rightfully so. We should be cheering that kind of shit, right? But if R. Kelly does it, then we supposed to just sweep the shit under the rug because a nigga gave us Step in the Name of Love? Fuck out of here, man. Kind of ashy nigga logic is that? Right? So, I'm kind of floored by some of the shit that I'm seeing by niggas defending this kind of shit, right? And I had just come off of doing Message to the Ashy Nigga. And I'm like, I can't believe, like, this is, like, the levels. Like, the levels that niggas are going to kind of defend this nigga on this, right? And it kind of made me wonder, like, man, how many of these motherfuckers are also guilty of the same shit? You would hate to kind of, like, assume that kind of thing, but how many niggas are guilty of doing the exact same shit? So, you know, I'm starting to see a lot of little different things pop up, man, on my Facebook. And I got wind of another YouTuber. I got wind of a YouTuber. I think he goes by the Revolutionary with Tattoos now. But at one point, it was that the nigga with the tattoos, right? And I got wind of some shit that he said about R. Kelly and black women, or black girls in particular. And he goes on, I'm going to just read what he said. This is from the Revolutionary with the Tattoos. And on his Facebook, he says, okay, so I don't think R. Kelly is a sexual predator. I think that young teenage girls are loose. I know y'all going to be mad, but that's just how I feel. Right? And it made me think. It made me think, like, you know, we got a lot of these niggas, right, who would proclaim themselves to be, you know, revolutionaries, who would claim to be intellectuals and documentarians and all of this other thing. And yet they seem to kind of fall into this whole pattern of disrespecting black women at every fucking chance they get. And it made me think of
the most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman.
All right. Now, y'all got that on Message to the Ashy Nigga, right? Now, I'm going to just go through some of these comments that came through on that particular thread. Some dude named Chris McFarland said, I feel you, but at the same time, that nigga rich and grown. Nah, you right. He did not rape her, right? The nigga with the tattoo says, and as far as 16-year-olds being easily tricked, that doesn't change with age. It's grown women out here that are easily manipulated. Chris McFarland also goes on to say, we don't want to be real and say that she wanted to do that and have it done. To be blunt and honest, he wasn't white enough to do some shit like that. Not individual, but group mentality. I said it. There was another guy named Manolo Shakur who said, I agree. Man, these hoes out here out of control. Y'all know how black girls are. That was Manolo Shakur, right? Chris McFarland says, I don't know about that because my teenage years were with mixed ethnicities. I know and seen some wild shit, right? Now, this is where shit got interesting for me, though. Because the nigga with the tattoos, or that revolutionary with the tattoos, whatever the fuck he's going by right now, said that I have 3 daughters. And I'm saying this as a father. If a man rapes my child, drugs her, takes it against her will, then I will go all out. And I will go all out. But when they are old enough, 15, 16, you're old enough to know what's right and what's wrong. If you don't want a fucking old dude, you just don't, right? Excuse me. Now, apparently, it's on his daughters to figure out whether or not they should engage in that particular activity, whether or not the nigga's old enough to be their uncle, whether or not he's old enough to be their father, whatever, doesn't mean a goddamn thing. He's holding his daughters accountable. I don't think y'all understand. If a man rapes my daughter at 15 to 16, I will kill him. But if she give it to him, then I would not seek to kill him, and no shit like that. It's her ass that I'll be tearing into, right? So it's on her. It's on her. Not the adult in the situation. He's going to hold the child accountable. Not the adult. Right? He goes on to say, and if a man raped my daughter, I wouldn't take money. I'm having a hard time understanding why R. Kelly isn't in jail if the parents really feel like he raped their child. Now, one thing that gets lost is the fact that the parents kind of, you know, were complicit in a lot of the shit that was going on, right? That R. Kelly was able to pay them off in order to kind of facilitate his actions, right? We know this. This shit has been documented. These aren't secrets. But you know what I find funny? You know what I find really fucked up? Is that we're at a point now where a lot of these niggas aren't even disputing whether or not R. Kelly did the shit. Not even disputing it. Now it's the girl's fault. I'm going to tear into her ass, not this grown motherfucker who was trying to get at my daughter. I'm going to get at her, the kid in the situation. I'm not going to hold that man accountable. That's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear into my daughter's ass. because of what some grown man may have or may not have manipulated her into. Whether or not the laws say something completely different is irrelevant in this case. I'm going to tear into my daughter's ass for giving him some booty. Right? Because it's her fault. This man has no accountability whatsoever. This man has no knowledge of what's right and wrong. This man has no moral compass whatsoever. I'm going to hold my daughter accountable. Ashy nigga logic. Ashy nigga logic. And again, there's a lot of really scary shit that goes on in this particular thread. And I got the screenshots, right? So you guys can go read them for yourself. But it gets to a point where, like, even like I'm reading at this comment now, just kind of glancing at the screen. Chris Lewis says, people act like there's a universal age of consent. Consent ages from puberty to 22. If she old enough to pee, she old enough for me. This is the kind of logic. This is the shit that's going on in a lot of niggas' brains right now. And this is how you have a lot of motherfuckers walking around thinking that what R. Kelly did was, nah, that wasn't nothing, dog. That shit happened a long time ago, man. It ain't nothing. Why you bringing that up now? Why you bringing that up now? Why are we even talking about this, man? You know, girls do this shit all the time, man. As if nothing's wrong. As if nothing's wrong. As if we're not even looking at these girls as the victims that they are. We're looking at them as the manipulators. Grown men being manipulated by teenage girls. Grown men, supposedly. Right? Who can't control their loins. Who can't control their urges when they're around teenage girls. They are weak behind teenage girls. It makes absolutely no fucking sense. None whatsoever. Right? And it's disappointing, yet again, when it comes to the nigga with the tattoos or the revolutionary with the tattoos or whatever the fuck he's going by right now. But somebody who say he's for the people, for the upliftment of the people. And yet, when we have deviant behavior by some of our men, instead of holding these motherfuckers accountable, we say, hey, it's our girl's fault that she did that with that man. It's our girl's fault that she tempted that man with that dress, or that she tempted that man with the way that she looked, or that she tempted that man with the way that she walked. And it made me think.
The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman.
It made me think, man. It's like, I can't take any nigga seriously when he talks about, you know, being a revolutionary or being an educator or being an intellectual or being a historian or anything else, especially when it comes to the upliftment of black people, so to speak. And you think that this kind of shit is all right. You think that the victimization of our women is all right. You think that the victimization of our young girls is okay. Is nothing to like kind of sneeze at, and that it's their fault that it's happening to them and everything else. I kind of look at you with a bit of a side eye, dog. I kind of look at you like, dog, you need to probably shut the fuck up if you ain't going to be 100 with your shit. Keep it a buck, dog. Keep it a buck. So, you know, I'm seeing all of this shit, and I'm just like, what the fuck, man? Like, this is like, this shit is a bit more ingrained than what I would have thought. It really is, man. It's like, are you niggas really hearing what's coming out of your mouths or what's coming across your keyboards right at this moment, right? And it's disappointing, man. It's disappointing as hell. Now, getting back to, you know, Tariq Nasheed on this particular portion of it. You know, I listened to that episode where, he pretty much talked about how Madame Noir lied on him, how the Huffington Post was being disrespectful, the Huffington Post host was being disrespectful and rude and everything else, and how he framed it as if there was a white supremacist agenda concerning R. Kelly, and how the media talks about R. Kelly, or how black folks respond to R. Kelly. I know he even made a point to say that, like, you know, a lot of black people are upset at R. Kelly because the media told them to be upset at R. Kelly, you know, that kind of thing. And like I said, I've been very critical of R. Kelly for a very long time. I didn't need the media to tell me a goddamn thing. I'm a husband and a father, dude. I didn't need the media to tell me shit. Not a goddamn thing concerning that motherfucker. Right? You know, this whole thing about the white supremacist sending the Negro Shaming Committee and all of these other things, and, you know, being associated with the, you know, the Ebony magazine, and, you know, I even heard, you know, like, I'm supposed to be like some you know, like some, like, kind of feminist save-a-ho, you know, Captain Save-a-ho kind of nigga, right? You know, because I'm speaking up on behalf of black women, right? I'm speaking up on behalf of black women. The people you're supposed to be speaking on behalf of too, brother, right? Right? That's who you're supposed to be uplifting too, right? Unless they calling you out on your bullshit. Calling you out on your bullshit. Then all of a sudden, oh, they lying on me and everything else. Okay, and then we find out they ain't really lying on you. That's what you said, nigga. That's what you said. But they lying on you. Okay. You know, it was funny, man. Like, I'm watching that interview with R. Kelly, and I'm thinking, you know, like, and I'm looking at the response that, you know, Tariq Nasheed's giving, and I'm thinking, well, damn, how is it that your biggest beef is with the woman who's asking this nigga questions that the audience was asking of him, and not with the fact that this is what this nigga is accused of doing? That he was accused of fucking with underage kids. That he was accused of paying off the parents of some of his victims. That he was actually found to be married to a 15-year-old Aaliyah. That he was actually arrested in Florida for having child pornography photos. That he was actually seen on video pissing on a 14-year-old girl. And your biggest beef is with the interviewer who asked him questions that the user submitted? That's your beef, nigga? That's who you going at? It's supposed to fit this white supremacist pimp shit to, like, and just let it be known, man. And I'm it's been very interesting to kind of watch the transition from the Mac Lessons radio show to the Tariq Elite radio show, where he's talking about, I'm gonna drop these jewels, I'm spitting from the survival scrolls and all of this shit, man. And there's a lot of niggas lapping that shit up. And I told you guys before on the message to the Ashy nigga, it's a lot of niggas, a lot of that shit is just try to make you feel good about yourself, right? So R. Kelly is now a victim of the machine. R. Kelly is a victim of the white supremacist shit. And whatever the fuck R. Kelly is accused of doing, it didn't have a motherfucking thing to do with white supremacy. His victims was young black girls, nigga. That's who his victims were. Young black girls. And you think this is a white supremacist conspiracy fucking theory to get R. Kelly, nigga? What the fuck are y'all thinking? Now, I can understand, and I'm lucid enough to know that there are going to be some people who listen to this and say, hey, this guy is pandering. I said this again. I said this on Message to the Ashy Niggas. A lot of niggas is going to listen to this and say, hey, man, that dude was spam pandering, man. He just trying to get some ass. You know, he trying to, you know, get this black feminist shit going on, man. He trying to get in these booties of these black feminists and everything. It's like, dude, I'm a married man. I don't have any search. I'm not in search of new booty. That's not my MO. I don't rock the way some of you niggas rock. definitely don't rock the way some of you niggas rock. But the point of this particular episode, and I swear this time is the last episode of 2015, right? But the point of this episode was the fact that I need you niggas to really take stock in what you say and be accountable for what you say. Own your shit. Own it. Don't try to say people are lying on you when they got fucking links and your shit is on the internet and people can go look at the shit and find out for themselves that there's really some bullshit that you saying, not everybody else. You own some bullshit. Own your shit. I would respect you a whole hell of a lot more if that's what y'all did. I would respect y'all a hell of a lot more if that's what y'all did. Own your shit. But y'all not doing that. Right? I mean, take for instance, there's a few times where like I might have said some shit that was fucked up on YouTube. I used to be on YouTube heavy back in the day, right? I used to say some things. I've said some things on YouTube that I don't necessarily agree with now. I started YouTube, I was 28 years old. I'm a 35-year-old man now. A lot of things in my life has changed. A lot of my perspective on a lot of things have changed. Kind of growing up a little bit over the course of this whole thing, right? This whole social media thing and this whole putting your opinion out there and everything else. I've grown a little bit. So, but at the same time, what I'm not going to do is run away from some of the things that I say, which is why some of that shit is still out there now. Some of those videos that I put up that I said some fucked up shit, they still there. Why? Because I left them there. I'm not running away from it, man. And all I'm asking these niggas to do is, hey, man, take stock in what you say. Be accountable for what you say, because it's a lot of motherfuckers out here listening to you. And they lapping that shit up. And guess who's being affected the most by some of this shit that you niggas is out here saying? The woman next to you, your daughters, your moms, your aunts, in their daily interactions with other niggas who are listening to messages coming from niggas that look and sound just like you. You know, it kind of makes me, I think back a little bit to like the whole street harassment. You know, I remember when that was real big, I want to say maybe a year ago, man, maybe 2 years ago. And there was a big, that video had come out and people were making, people were talking a lot about it. And it's one of those things where as black men, I know that there are a lot of instances where you feel like you're being shit on by everybody, right? I walk around with that sometimes too, that you feel like the world is giving you the shit end of the stick. And you're being persecuted everywhere. I know that. I get that feeling sometimes too. But at the same time, I think we have to recognize that even though we are black, we are still male, and if there are other things that affect people within our own communities that we don't necessarily have to deal with. So when we talk about the street harassment thing, you know, the one thing that our women was, you know, that the women were telling us is like, hey, man, this shit that you do about, you know, trying to holler at me when I'm just trying to go out and mind my business and be left alone and be able to walk the block and not feel threatened by some of you niggas or feel like y'all gonna say something foul to me if I don't want to talk to you motherfuckers and everything else. They were telling you what they wanted. And a lot of you niggas is like, well, why can't I just talk to you? You made it about you. Your male privilege kind of made this shit about you, about what you couldn't do and why you couldn't do it and why it was fucked up that you couldn't do it. Never mind who you were making feel uncomfortable. You made it about you. So in an instance where we're talking about young black girls being taken advantage of by a superstar by the name of R. Kelly and him being forced to answer really hard questions about why it was that he did certain things and people wanting to know why he did certain things and him walking off and him being really disrespectful, being rude to the interviewer, being a coward and not owning up to his shit. Not being contrite about shit. Not being contrite about nothing. And a bunch of niggas is sitting up talking about how he was right about what he did? Nah, man. Nah. That ain't it, man. And so my thing is this. Be accountable for what you say. Think about what it is that you say when you talking about you for the upliftment of all of us, right? Or is it that you're for your own upliftment? Are you trying to replace the white man in his particular place of privilege and change nothing? Are you really about the upliftment and the elevation of yourself? Is that what it's really about? Keep it 100. Because that's what it sounds like to a lot of us. And I said before, you niggas need to stop trying to represent me. You do. Some of y'all, again, I get it. You know, at some point, some of y'all may get it. Some of y'all may have that light go off in your head. Like, you know what, man? I said some really fucked up shit. I get it now. My bad. Be a man and own up to your shit. But I know a lot of y'all ain't. I know a lot of y'all ain't. And y'all will continue to be ashy niggas. And that just is what it is. I mean, it just pretty much is what it is, man. But, yeah, man. At the end of the day, man, as a father, as a husband, as someone who has come to a lot of realizations over the last 5 years, that if we're going to actually elevate as a people or whatever, right? If we're going to do that elevation, then I can't be the one standing in the way of everybody else getting what's, you know, what's coming to them. I can't be the one standing in the way of that. So when there's a black transsexual or a black trans person fighting for their rights, who am I to stand in front of that and say, well, no, you need to wait until we all, until I get what I need? Who am I to tell a black lesbian that, no, you need to wait until I get what I need? Who am I to tell my woman, our women, the black woman, that in order for us to elevate to a better standing in society, that she needs to wait for hers while I get mine? Nah, dog. No. You are not for the upliftment of the people if that's what you out here preaching and that's what you out here espousing. And you do not speak for me. You do not speak for the people. And it's time y'all niggas shut the fuck up unless y'all start speaking universally when it comes to black folks. Bottom line, own your shit. Own your shit. And, you know, and there was a couple other videos that I was going to play, but you can go on to the Spare Report and watch those if you really want to. You know what I mean? But it was a couple other motherfuckers who were sitting up defending R. Kelly's ashy ass. So, yeah, man, I got to get the fuck out of here. I got to get the fuck out of here. This is the very last episode of 2015. I swear to you. I swear to you. I swear to you. This is the very last episode of 2015. I will see you guys on the other side of it. But before I get out of here, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spirit Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard, man. Hit the hotline up, man. Call me on the hotline. Leave me a voicemail. Area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I will play them on the show and, of course, respond in kind. You can also email the show at feedback@thespareandreport.com. That's feedback@thespareandreport.com. Leave me those voice messages. Leave me those emails. Of course, I will read those and, of course, reply to those here on the show as well. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter. My name on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr_Span. So follow me there. We can chop it up throughout the week. Next year, hit me up. Ass Hat of the Week, man. Send me those Ass Hat of the Week submissions. We will talk about these motherfuckers here on the show, man. So get those in next year, man. Oh, you can start piling them up now when I can kick, you know, hit the ground running the start of 2016. So asshat@thespareandreport.com. Hit me up with those. Leave me a review, man. Preferably 5 stars, man. Leave those reviews on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio, man. It helps the show grow, and that's how you put in on this, right? That's how you help the show grow. That's how you spread the word. That's how you, you know, you do me a solid by doing that, man. And for all of your spare report needs, go to www.thesparereport.com. All of the podcasts are available there. All of your audio is available there. Check that out for all of your spare report needs. But yeah, man, I got to get out of here. Yeah, that's it. 2015's in the books. So until next time, fam. Peace.